Afreilichen Chanukah to all of you, and thank you very much for coming out. I'm disturbed to hear that there aren't many women's opportunities to learn Torah here in the neighborhood or in Stern College. As I just mentioned to the few women who came over, we should do something about that. And if doing something about that means doing things as beautiful as this, it's certainly something that I'm happy to be in touch with any of you about. You know, I don't know how much free time I have, but we can always try to fit something into the schedule. Happen to be in the city every Tuesday night I give a shiur, so wouldn't be crazy to figure something out, especially if you're used to coming to shiurim at 10:15 at night. So let us begin. Every year when we read the story of Yosef and his brothers, it's a very emotional story, and it's a very painful story to be reminded of every single year over and over again. And I always ask myself, what actually were the brothers thinking? Is it possible that they all just woke up on the wrong side of the bed? Is it possible that they all just decided unanimously, let's kill our brother, let's destroy him? As much as somebody might not get along with a sibling, you're going to take such drastic measures and destroy his life forever? You're going to kill him and trick your father? So the Medrash comments on a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah. Navi Yirmiyah writes, Ki anochi yadati es hamachshavos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know what people are thinking. Ask the Medrash, what is that a reference to? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God knows what we are thinking. When? Where does He know? When does He know? Writes the Medrash, that pasuk is a reference to this story of Yosef and his brothers when the sale took place. How so? Writes the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an insight. What did the Shvatim feel as they walked away from this terrible situation? So the Medrash says, Shvatim hayu asukim b'mechiraso shel Yosef. The Shvatim were arguing and they were bickering and debating with each other. Should we have done this? Should we not have done it? Well, now it's too late. What are we going to do? We can't make it up. He's dead already. The assumption was they threw him into a pit. He will never survive. Nechashim ha'akravim, Rashi says. There were snakes, there were scorpions, dangerous animals. How would he ever survive? So now everybody's pointing fingers at each other. You ever had a family feud? And then when all the dust settles, everybody now comes the pointing fingers stage. And the Medrash writes, that's exactly what happened. Everybody's pointing fingers, blaming the other one, fighting, debating, we should have done it, we shouldn't have done it, maybe we should have done something else. Okay. Yosef, what was his perspective? What was he doing? Understandably, writes the Medrash, Haya asuk b'sako v'taniso. Yosef is completely discouraged. Yosef is grieving. He was the ben zekunim of his own father. He was the favorite child in the family. He was the oldest child of Rachel Imenu. And now his entire world collapsed in front of him. From one day to the next. He knew that his brothers didn't really appreciate him. He never would have dreamt that this would happen. He naively goes out into the field. Had he known they were going to kill him, I'm sure he never would have gone. He never dreamt in a million years that this would happen. So he is in a terrible state of depression. Reuven, haya asuk b'sako v'taniso. Anyone in the room, the oldest child in their family. So I'm the eighth of nine. So, little secret, pretty much nothing ever got blamed on me. Because it's always the fault of the older sibling, even if the older sibling has no involvement. Why? Because that's just the way it goes. Doesn't matter whether or not it's rational, whether or not it makes sense. So Reuven says, look, maybe we were right in killing our brother. Maybe it made sense. Maybe we had every justification in the world. But do you know in history how this moment is going to be remembered? Everybody will say, Reuven is the one who killed his brother. I'm the one who's going to bear the burden of this terrible story. No one's going to remember anymore that all the Shvatim were involved and they were arguing and deliberating and we should do it and we shouldn't do it. Nobody's going to remember the details. All they're going to say is Yosef was killed. The oldest brother in the family was Reuven and he didn't stop it. So Reuven is beside himself. Yaakov, very understandably as well, haya asuk b'sako v'taniso. Yaakov is told about the supposed death of his child. Why would he have any reason to believe it's not true? His children tell him, Tarov, Taraf, Yosef. Yosef's life was destroyed. He was eaten up by a wild animal. Look at the Ksonas Pasim. So Yaakov is in a state of absolute horror, absolute shock. He doesn't know where to put himself. He just lost a child so unexpectedly. Yehuda, writes the Medrash, what was he doing? Now the Medrash, the Pasuk says, Ato Yoducha Achecha. Yehuda's brothers used to look up to him. He was the one who everybody looked to for guidance. So Yehuda, you would think, is the one who's willing to say, what did I just do here? Can you believe this? Everything's going to be blamed on me. How did I allow this to happen? Ato yaducha achecha, says Yehuda. No. What was he doing then? What was his reaction and response? Haya asuk likach loisha. Yehuda was busy going on a date, trying to get married. This is, I'm sorry to say, completely insane. We had a woman in our neighborhood whose father was killed in a very tragic accident. And the first day of Shiva, they came back from the cemetery, they set up the Shiva house, they had the Sudas Havra, which is customary to have right before you sit Shiva, and the mother sits down for the first night of Shiva. I came over to the house and the mother says to me, "You got to talk to my son." I said, "What's wrong? What did he do?" "Can you believe it? He went on a date tonight. The kid is crazy." I said, "You're right, he is a little crazy. How can you do that? Such a tragedy in your family? Your mother sitting Shiva for a tragic accident that happened to your grandfather who you love so much, or you had a beautiful relationship with, and you think it's appropriate to go on a date? How insensitive can a person be? How insane?" So this is a very troubling comment to the Medrash. The Medrash doesn't explain what exactly it's all about. Now in the background, says the Medrash, the final piece to all this is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaYa'osek B'Bias Oros Shel Melech HaMashiach. As all of this is going on, all the fighting, all the deliberating, and everybody's feeling terrible and depressed and dejected, and Yehuda and Yosef, all the elements here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting together a tapestry of how we're going to bring the Melech HaMashiach. As we know, Yehuda has a relationship with Tamar. From there, very unusually, that's where Mashiach stems from. As strange as that might sound, but that's what the Torah says. So this is what's going on at the time. How do you understand this callous and unsympathetic response of Yehuda? It's like merciless. He has no feelings? Does he have no heart? So writes the Kotzker Rebbe, so powerfully, Yehuda understood very well, better than any of his brothers, how much he just destroyed a world. He understood how much devastation he just caused. Yehuda understood, "I had a brother who had such a promising life ahead of him, and look what I just did. And guess what? There's nothing I can do at this point. I feel horrible. I'm just as devastated and depressed as the rest of my brothers. It's demoralizing to think about the future of Yosef that is basically non-existent." And he feels completely deflated. And he says, "I have two options. Option number one is, I can live out the rest of my life in depression and just never get up again, never do anything again, because look what I did. Option number two is, when I have a situation in front of me like this, where I feel terrible, where there's absolutely no option for me to reconcile, where there's no option for me to rebuild and reconstruct that which I have created, option number two is, I'm going to go back to the beginning of life, which is the first mitzvah, Pru Urvu Umilu Asa'aretz. Yehuda says, I'm going to pick myself up, start life all over again from the beginning. This was not an insensitivity on his part. This was Yehuda understanding there is absolutely nothing I can do to help the situation. And what is man's job when you face circumstances like that? The job of all of us is to pick up and move on. Not that we ignore what it is that we've caused. We need to pay attention to it. We need to think about it. But if there's absolutely nothing we can do, the option of being depressed about it and being sad the rest of our lives and feeling that we are unworthy of ever accomplishing anything again is unacceptable. In fact, if you look at the very beginning of Briyas HaOlam, my father writes in one of his Sfarim in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, the Medrash writes that when the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bonei Olamos Umachrivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created worlds and then destroyed them. Created them again and destroyed them once again. Now, how do you understand that? We say every day in our davening, Baruch Omer Ve'oseh. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to do is say something and it comes into existence. So how did he get it wrong? He created a world and then he realized, not quite the way I wanted the trees to come out. And you know what? Not quite the way I expected the sun and the moon, and not quite the way I wanted human beings to look. Is that really what happened? So he destroyed an entire world and started over again? And Rav Soloveitchik suggested perhaps what the Medrash means to teach us is that even if a person sees a beautiful world in front of them, and you've built this tremendous image of what your life is supposed to be, of what you expect it to be, your projection of how your life is going to play out, and all of it gets destroyed, and it is charev, it is devastation, and one failure after the other, and nothing seems to be working out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us, you always have the ability, you always have the opportunity to be Bonei Olamos Umachrivan. I myself did it, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I created beautiful worlds, I didn't like the way they came out. I destroyed them, and guess what I did next? I picked up and I started over again, because that is what people are meant to do as well. With so much destruction, with so much devastation in front of us. That's how we react, that's how we respond. So I once heard a beautiful drasha of the Talmud Rebbe in Yerushalayim. I don't know if anyone knows who he is, but he is such an incredibly insightful person. Every Torah I've ever read from him has been amazing. I'll be honest, I haven't read so many. But the ones that I have been extremely profound. So I once heard him speak on Hanukkah. And the Talmud Rebbe asked the following question. The Rambam writes that Hanukkah are the days of Yemei Halel Vehodah. This is great celebration. And we sing and we're excited and it's beautiful and we eat latkes and donuts and everything. Everybody's celebrating. Ask the Talmud Rebbe. It's all nice, but think back to what was actually happening in the times of the Hanukkah miracle. Do you know that the Gemara says that Bo Pritzim Mechileluha? Do you know that the entire Beis HaMikdash was in a state of devastation, of destruction, of despair? So much so that when they walked into the Beis HaMikdash finally after they won the war, it says they had to dismantle the Mizbeach. Can you imagine? You walk into a Beis HaMikdash, there's not even a Mizbeach. What is this Beis HaMikdash? Bo Pritzim Mechileluha, the Gemara discusses in great detail, how are we going to be metaher everything that became Tameh, and we have to take apart the Mizbeach and one piece at a time, reconstruct it. What is there to celebrate about? And by the way, we say in Al HaNisim, Rabim Biad Miyatim, beautiful, it was great, there was a war, and there were few that somehow were victorious over the Ma'atim, over the Rabim, and there were Tmeim Biad Tohom, it's wonderful, it's great. You know why? Because the entire rest of the Jewish community gave up. They gave in. They became Isyavnim. They had no interest in going along with this. So we're excited about the fact that Rabim Biad Miyatim, Tmeim Biad Tohom, Misham Biad Tzadikim, it's beautiful, but you're missing the bigger picture. Look how much intermarriage was going on. Look how much terrible destruction of the Jewish community all over the world. How do you understand that? Why do we celebrate? Suggested the Talmud Rebbe, the reason why is because when the Chashmonaim stood up and said, we see a world of devastation in front of us, they said, we have two options. Option number one is we will give up. And we will say, if the Beis HaMikdash is in ruins, if it's in disrepair, there's nothing I can do. Let me just give up on the whole religion. There is no future for the Jewish people. But of what good is that? Do you believe that your life really has nothing that you can accomplish? What we celebrate on Hanukkah is the fierce determination of those small group of Jews who said, whatever the price, whatever the cost, we're going to stand up with bravery. We're going to stand up with resolve. And we are going to rebuild, regardless of how horrible the situation may seem to all of us. We are going to rebuild. That is worth celebrating. You ever watch somebody who suffers miserably, a loss in a family, they had a very well-paying job and suddenly they get laid off? I don't know if any of your parents have ever had such an experience. It's awful. I speak to people in our neighborhood who are laid off. It's the most devastating, embarrassing thing for them. They lose their identity. They don't know who they are anymore. And there are two kinds of people. There are the kinds of people who say, I'm worthless. If my company that I worked at for 20 years can throw me out like that, it means that's really what I am. And it redefines who they are, and it's so pathetically sad. And there are other people who, despite all the embarrassment, despite the difficulty, are willing to stand up and say, I didn't get into the graduate program that I wanted to. I didn't get the job that I always imagined. I didn't get married exactly at the time that I thought I would. Perhaps I didn't marry the boy that I ever envisioned. Maybe my children that I ultimately have are not what I ever thought my children would look like or act like. Maybe the community that I'm living in is just not really what I ever saw my future being. And you have two options. You can wallow in that devastation forever and just be unhappy and unproductive. But the Chashmonaim taught us, Lahodus u'lahalal means there are people who know how to have courage, how to have fierce determination that we will stand up and make a difference in the world. We are not going to succumb to this terrible circumstance. Did we suffer a loss? Did we suffer a tragedy? 100%. Is it in our hands to fix that? Not at all. Is it in our hands to recreate and reestablish whatever it is that we want to create once again after this all calms down? That is a choice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us. That is why we celebrate on Hanukkah. And not only that, you look in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos in the second parak, where the Gemara talks about all of the halachas of lighting Hanukkah candles. And there the Gemara writes, one of the disputes, one of the discussions that they have is something that comes up all the time. Kavsa zakukla, kavsa ein zakukla. For those who are not familiar with the Gemara, it's okay, but the Gemara wonders, if you light a candle on Hanukkah and it goes out within 30 seconds, within a minute, do I have to go and light it again? And do I have to stand there all 30 minutes to make sure that it remains burning? Or would you say no? Halakha osa mitzvah, once I have kindled my candle, once I have kindled the flame, that is sufficient. And it's not my job to keep looking back to see whether or not it's still burning. The bottom line of the Gemara is, and this is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, kavsa ein zakukla. If your flame goes out on Hanukkah, don't turn around. No obligation to relight it. Let it go. Said the Talmud Rebbe, you know what that means? It's not just a halakha with regard to Hilchos Hanukkah. That's what Hanukkah is all about. The Chashmonaim had every opportunity to look behind them and say, look at this, the flame went out, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Jewish community is intermarrying, we have nothing left. And they had every right to say, just forget it. Just forget it. And we're going to keep on harping and turning around and trying to understand, why did it happen, why did it not happen? And the Chashmonaim taught us, Kavsa Ein Zakukla, don't keep looking back at the horrible devastation in your life, move on. You lit your candles, you did whatever you were supposed to do, you tried your best, you invested in everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to, there's nothing more that He wants. Move on. Move on and don't get stuck on that. Don't allow that to define what your identity is. Don't allow that to define your essence. So if anyone plans to be in a position of community leadership, let me just tell you, I have the great privilege of having a very large and complicated community. And because of that, you deal with lots of different kinds of problems. Not by anyone's particular fault, but that's just the nature of a large community. Things come up. And unfortunately, I've met with family members of criminals before. And the saddest thing to me is, somebody did something wrong, they have to live with that guilt, they need to live with it. And whatever their punishment is going to be, that's none of our business. What is most devastating to me is, when their children will share with me how their entire identity has been taken away. How now their identity consists of this horrific tragedy. How can I ever walk into a supermarket again when I know that everybody thinks negatively about me? How can I ever apply for a job if I know that everyone is going to judge me by this horrible story that happened? And it's devastating. Children did nothing wrong. They don't deserve that. And unfortunately, it happens so often. And the Chashmonaim taught us, I'm not saying that it's easy, but the only way to deal with it is to allow yourself to recreate an identity, to recreate an image of who I really am, of what I can do, and whatever happened, happened. I'm not going to change the circumstances. I will not change the fact that my parent did something horribly wrong and is now going to suffer the consequence of whatever they have done. That has nothing to do with me because there is nothing I can do to fix it. And we all have those two options. I don't wish it upon anyone. But there's always difficulty in people's lives, and we are always given those two options. What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from all of us? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, the Gemara tells us an amazing statement. It says that one day Hillel was sitting in the Beis Medrash together with his friends, and he turns to one of them and he says, Ein Mashiach LeYisrael. Wow, sounds like a wild statement. There's not going to be a Mashiach for the Jewish people? So his friend Rabbi Yosef is sitting next to him and he says, he has a double take. Really? Do you believe that there's not going to be a Mashiach for the Jewish people? And he turns to his friend and he says, Sharele Mari Lehillel, I hope God can find a soft place in his heart to forgive you for saying such a horrific statement. Do you not believe in the coming of Mashiach? Don't you know that every Jew, one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Hamuna, is a Chakalo B'chayim Shiyabu? Every child knows that. Every day school kid knows that we look forward to the coming of Mashiach. How do you explain that? So that's the question that Rashi is bothered with. And Rashi there says, obviously Hillel did not mean to say there is not going to be a Mashiach. Anyone else hot in here? Toasting. Kavsa ein zakukla. If the heat goes out, don't relight it. So, thank you. So the question is, what did he mean when he turns to his friends and he says, Ein Mashiach LeYisrael? Explains Rashi, obviously Hillel didn't mean what we think he meant. Obviously he means something different. And what is it that he means? Hillel meant to tell his friends, you know, by the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, lo ayidei malach v'lo ayidei shliach, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. We've been dormant of a relationship with God for so many generations. And I demand, says Hillel, that when the coming of Mashiach comes, when the end of days will be here, I demand that God do it himself. I don't want any intermediaries. I want God to present himself the same way he did by Yitzias Mitzrayim, b'chvodo v'atzmo, with nobody in the middle. And he says, that's what I want. So ask Rav Soloveitchik, if that's all he was asking for, isn't that beautiful? Why were his friends so offended? Why did they say, Sharele Mara Lehillel, God should forgive you. What does he need forgiveness for? That's a beautiful statement. And the answer, writes Rav Soloveitchik, is, just as unacceptable as it is for a person to say, Ein Mashiach Yisrael, there will not be the coming of Mashiach, it is equally unacceptable for any of us to believe that we will not have a part in the coming of Mashiach. The Ribbono Shel Olam believes in all of us, and he believes that as horrible as the world is all around us, and as much hate and devastation as we see every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can do something. Don't believe that it's going to be b'chvodo v'atzmo. Don't ever say such a thing. Don't ever believe that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to make sure that you make the difference. There's nothing that is ever beyond human ability to change or to recreate. So there's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Sota, the last daf, where the Gemara describes what will the experience be like in the days of the coming of Mashiach. And this is like prophetic. You read this Gemara and you would think it was written today. So the Gemara describes the following. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Boshu HaChaverim. The Talmidei Chachamim were not respected any longer. Look around the world. You see that is very much the case in many different communities. Nobody has respect for the Talmidei Chachamim. Then the Gemara says, when this happened, Gavru Balei Zroa Ubalei Halasha. The aggressive people started having the upper hand. And Balei Halasha means, I think, Twitter users. Right? They're nothing short of Balei Halasha. Most of the time, they have nothing intelligent to share with the world. I'm not commenting on those who have something to say, but most of the time, I don't have Twitter, but from what I'm sent, Balei Halasha. I always think, I don't know how many of you get, I'm sure you all do, WhatsApp videos from people all over the place. And they're so embarrassing, they're so humiliating. I respond every time I get one of those. I respond to the person. Can you imagine if that video was taken of you? And I shared it with every person that you know or will ever meet? Like, how would that make you feel? What would that do to your self-image, to your self-esteem? That's what the Gemara says, Gavru Balei Halasha. People just have no control over their mouths anymore. So the Kutzker Rebbe writes, for anyone who listens to my Shiurim online, I said this a few weeks ago, but it's an amazing statement. He says, not everything that is thought needs to be written. And not everything that is written needs to be published. And not everything that is published needs to be read. Remember that, says the Kutzker. Balei Halasha. Look how much destruction it causes. Look what it does to the world. But the Gemara says that's the reality of the days of the coming of Mashiach. Then the Gemara says, Ben eno mizbayish me'aviv. There will be a completely disrespectful attitude between parents and children. I'm part of the children's society. I feel I'm the same way. I'm not respectful to my parents the way that people used to be 50 years ago. It's just not the case. And the Gemara says that there's going to be such a flippant attitude between parents and children. In the wrong direction. Then the Gemara writes, "Pnei Dar ke Pnei Akelev," and the economy is going to be so erratic and inconsistent, and we're not going to know what to expect. Ve'ein lanu al mili hishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim. And we're just going to throw up our hands and say, you know, this entire world is so insane, and we don't even know who to trust anymore. And there's so much skepticism, and there's so much suspicion, so much distrust. If I watch CNN, I get this side of the story. If I watch Fox, I get that side of the story. It's like they're living in two different planets. This is the reality of our world, says the Gemara. This is what's happening. And ein lanu al mili yishayin ela al avinu shebashamayim. At moments like that in our lives, we have no one that we can possibly depend on other than HaKadosh Baruch. He's the only constant. He's the only stable part of our lives that we know will be here tomorrow again. Other than that, short of that, we have nothing. Well, writes Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Gemara here does not mean what you think. The Gemara here is describing all of the terrible devastation and tragedy that will happen in the days of the coming of Mashiach. And yes, there will be corrupt politicians, and there will be people who will lie, and the economy will go haywire, and we're not going to know who we can trust anymore, and children are going to disrespect their parents, and, writes the Reb Chaim Volozhiner, worse than all of that, the highest level of curse is going to be when the Jewish people throw up their hands and say, Ein lanu amili yishayin ela alavinu shemashamayim, God, this world is so insane, there's nothing more that I can do to fix it. Now it's your problem, you need to take over. You have put us in such a devastating circumstance that I give up. Writes of Chaim Volozhiner, that is the worst curse of it all. When a person walks away and believes, life is too difficult, life is too painful, life is too destructive for me to ever do something positive again. Writes of Chaim Volozhiner, absolutely unacceptable response. So let me close. The Navi, in Sefer Yirmiyah, describes everything that will happen in the days of the Churban. And the Navi writes, there's going to be terrible devastation. Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. There's going to be war. Everything. And then the next pasuk, Ko Amar Hashem Tzevaokos Elokei Yisrael. If you want to look it up, it's Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tesvav, and Sefer Yirmiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yirmiyah HaNavi, as he's describing to him all of this horrible reality. He says, Od Yiknu Batim V'Sadus Ukramim Ba'aretz Hazos. Don't be afraid. Klal Yisrael will rise again. It's going to take a few courageous people to stand up and make it happen. But that is the story of the Jewish people. So much so, you know what, the next parak, the famous words of the next parak in Sefer Yirmiyah, after all the description that we're given, you know what the Navi says then? Od yishama be'ara Yehuda v'chutzas Yerushalayim. When you're thinking about all this devastation, guess what? People are still going to get married, and they're going to come back to Yerushalayim after all they've been through. After family members have been killed, after a Beis HaMikdash is no longer, after everybody's in exile. Od yishama be'ara Yehuda v'chutzas Yerushalayim. That is what defines the identity of what a Jew is all about. That is what Yehuda taught us. I have two options in front of me. I can sit and wallow in my suffering and understand that there's nothing I can do about it, but I'm just a depressed human being because I can't change the reality. Or I can say, well, if I cannot change the reality, I have to create a new reality with which I can function in, with which I can be a considerable human being that will contribute to the world. That is what Yehuda taught us. That is what the Chashmonaim said. When we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Chanukah, Behalal V'Hodah, we thank Him for giving us the courage, the strength, the determination, the fortitude to stand up strong for what we believe in and to say that we will never give up as Jews and we will always allow ourselves to have that opportunity to recreate, reestablish, and rebuild everything that a Jew's life is supposed to be about. That's what we say in our davening Ala Nisim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ala Melchamas. Are we a bloodthirsty people? We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu because He gave us the opportunity to fight wars. Really? Is that what we're about? Explains the Pana Vizhirav, absolutely not. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the fortitude to keep on fighting and never to give up and to allow ourselves to recreate the image of the Jewish people. That is something to thank God for. Not what happened 2,000 years ago, but what has happened for the last 2,000 years. Al HaMelchamos. That is astounding. That is remarkable. That is a tribute that only the Jewish people can say about themselves, because there is no other nation in the world who has been through so much devastation and yet has gotten up once again and recreated their destiny and recreated their own image. On that note, I wish all of you a Freilich and Chanukah and Od Yishama Be'ar Yehuda V'chutzas Yerushalayim Kol Sasan V'kol Simcha Kol Chasan V'kol Kala. As much as we see that the world is upside down, topsy-turvy, we have no idea where things are going to go, Jews continue to move on. They get married. And Bezrat Hashem, we should have that opportunity to celebrate with all of you. And we should have the opportunity to recreate the images of the devastating feelings that sometimes we go through, or the devastating experiences that sometimes we beat ourselves up about. We should have that strength. That's what Al HaNisim is all about. That's what Chanukah is all about. And that's what we're given the opportunity to appreciate every year when we re-celebrate this very sacred and holy holiday of Chanukah. I wish all of you a wonderful evening. Thanks again for coming.